651-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the show. Still shoot us some text, and time permitting, I'll try to react or respond or read whatever it is that's on your mind, turning up your voice here. Leanna texting into the show here. Also, a rhinestone cowboy. An earworm, I believe. So you find yourself singing that any of our bumper music, and then all of a sudden you're like cursing my name. Also, one more thing before our guest arrives here. She should be here any moment. This appeal to heaven flag that they're trying to – what they're doing right now? They know this January 6th stuff is going to collapse under the ruling of the Supreme Court. Because the D.C. Circuit and the D.C. Appeals Courts are so stacked – with Clinton and Obama appointees. They're ideologically liberal, and they're, it was an attack on our democracy. But what the real attack on the democracy is the attack on the rule of law. And I'm not saying what these J6ers did is, they ought to be punished for what the law is. But they're working the refs here, sort of. They're working the refs. They're working the Supreme Court, and that's what they're doing. They failed with Roberts. I mean, not Roberts, but they failed with Thomas, and now they're trying it with Samuel Alito for this flag that no one's ever heard of. But apparently, I mean, it's such a tenuous argument. Anyway, 251-343-0106. If you want to text, and we will try to make time for you. But joining us now here in the Fairhope Bureau, it's only appropriate that the mayor of Fairhope is here with us, Sherry Sullivan. Mayor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks good. For making time. Thanks for coming by. Certainly do appreciate it. Well, there's a few things I want to talk about with you to get you in here. Let's kick it off here. And you recently got elected to a new post there with the League of Municipalities. I think this is important. Now, Mark Saliba and Dothan's going to be the new president, but you've been elected the vice president, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm really excited about being able to do that and represent municipalities from all over the state of Alabama.
Right. I mean, it's somebody from this area. You know, it's a little unusual, but we're glad to see that. But I guess my question would be, like, kind of talk about that role, what you would be doing, or really probably need to start with this, what the League of Municipalities is.
So the Alabama League of Municipalities is an organization that represents the over 400 municipalities throughout the state. They really serve as a resource, not only legally. They have a legal department that really advises municipalities, but education. They also lobby and do legislative issues that are related to municipalities. I think the biggest thing for me with the Alabama League that has helped me throughout the years is just the relationships that you build. Obviously, there are municipalities all over the state that are, you have the Big Ten that have the most population in the state. Then you have, places like Fairhope are small communities. And so for us, it's just really about the networking. It's about, being able to have people who are, running communities all over the state and being able to just contact them if you have, some challenges that you're facing or some like issues. Right. And that's the benefit that I see with the Alabama League.
Well, we're glad and congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Well, what's going on in Fairhope? It's every time we have you on, there's something being built. I don't know, but the growth is, it seems like the city's managing it in a way that's really the way the people that live here want it to be managed. Are you kind of satisfied how that's going?
I am. I guess, every day is a challenge. At the rate of growth that we're seeing, we're not slowing down, which is what we would like to see. but we're not. You know, recently we've been listed as one of the top, you know, the third fastest growing area in the country, I mean, in the state, and then the seventh, the fastest growing metro region in the country. So we are continuing to see that growth. We are still, you know, infrastructure. I still feel like we are, we could do better there. We can't put pipe in the ground fast enough. I think we've done things to kind of slow things. We've done things as a city to, you know, to put a halt on things. We've had a moratorium. We've, if you want water, you have to annex from us, which helps us, you know, kind of square up our borders with annexation. You know, just different things that we've been doing. For the most part, I'm pretty happy. But again, every day it's a challenge.
Well, and you do see a lot of pipe going in the ground around town. You see the signs up.
Okay.
You shut off streets for periods of time.
Yes.
To get the pipe in the ground. Is that? And then I guess I'm not as familiar with it as I should be, but you made some strides. We don't hear about these water and sewer calamities like we were probably hearing like 5, 6, 7 years ago, do we?
No, I hope not. You know, since in the past, you know, 3 to 4 years, things that we've done, we've put 2 substations online, electric substations online. We're creating some redundancy in our system there. As far as water and sewer, we've added a new well, which had not been done since 2007, which is huge. By the end of June, we'll have another 2 million gallons of capacity of water. So hopefully we won't be in that water conservation period like we were last year. Although everybody should always conserve water. We continue to put out Facebook posts about that, about being, you know, conserving water. There is a mandate, a federal mandate, to remove all the cast iron from your gas system. We have 16 miles of cast iron in our system. We are just now completing the first phase of doing that. We have several more phases to do. But, again, that was mandated 2000, and you had to 2040, and we just kind of kept kicking the can down the road. So we've completed that first phase. Things that people just don't see. You see Arts Alley. You see Gaston Plaza. You see the new ball fields. You see the new track. But when it comes to the infrastructure, it's just not, it's not as sexy as those other things. It's not as visual as those other things. So, you know, the pipe in the ground and those utility upgrades, I think, are what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, and you know, that's part of the growing pain struggle. Like, yeah, the build it and they will come. And it's a unique problem you have, because a lot of places would love to have sort of these problems. But it seems like you're always trying to achieve that right balance and preserve what the brand of Fairhope is, versus, like, you don't want to, you know, just, I don't know how else to describe it, but you don't want to create like a Hoover or something situation where it's just boom, 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 and just ever expanding, right?
Yeah, and I think as it's a, you know, just meeting with the leadership team today, I think that's one of the challenges that we face, is to make sure that we continue the things that are quality of life things for the people who live in Fairhope or who want to move here. You know, we've always felt like we had a safe community, a walkable community, a community that we have events and tree lightings and Christmas parades and those different things that make you feel like you're in a small town, kind of the small town Americana is what I call it, the 4th of July celebration. We don't want to lose sight of those things. We still want to have that small town feel. So it's a struggle every day. It's a challenge. Have a great staff, great leadership team that helps us put, you know, ordinances and the council puts things in place to make sure we maintain that. And we don't want to lose sight of that.
Joined by Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here in the Fairhope Bureau and studio. We're very grateful for that. So believe it or not, one of our listeners, I don't know, I can't remember his name or whatever happened to him, but the K1 Center was always brought up on the text line. Mm-hmm. And, I'm not as familiar with the history of that piece of property as I need to be. But what has been brought to my attention is you're going to be doing something with it soon. Kind of talk about that a little bit.
We are. So the K1 Center is, was built in 1923. My dad went to high school there. My daughter went to the K1 Center. I went to school there. I can go back and find exactly where Miss Barrett's classroom was and where the library was in that building. But it's really special to a lot of people. We really wanted to make sure we preserve that building. So we make our final payment this year to the school board for that piece of property, and we are going to rehab it. We have partnered with Baldwin County EDA and their Hatch, their business incubator program, to be able to, we applied for a federal grant, an EDA grant, which we received, which was $2.4 million. Congressman Jerry Carl allocated another $750,000, and then the city has committed to $625,000 on that. We continue to look for funds. The city council did commit up to $2 million to finish out that project, because it's a $5.2 million project. We've recently got another $1 million towards the project, and Baldwin County EDA actually got an Innovation Alabama grant for $2 million, which will take care of the furnitures, fixtures, and equipment that's going in the building. So when it's all complete, all rehabbed, it will be 18,000 square feet of basically space that will be used by Hatch, again, which is a business incubator type program, business entrepreneurial program for people who want to come into our area and start really tech businesses. They'll be able to come in, have all the resources they need, have mentors that they need. They'll partner with businesses to bring them in to mentor them on how to build out their businesses.
Right.
And then basically they will launch into our community. So it's a great way to create nice, clean industry for Fairhope high-paying jobs. And again, give them a place to start that mentorship right there in the center of downtown Fairhope.
Yeah, because that's the draw, right?
The
downtown and having all the amenities within walking distance,
right.
And it creates a sort of a, I don't want to say big city feel, but the amenities are there that you would have in maybe other places that you wouldn't have in smaller towns, right?
Correct. We had the luxury of going to Franklin, Tennessee, and to Atlanta to look at some of these programs, because there's a lot of things like collaborative labs and co-work space and different things that go into these projects. And most of them are located in downtowns. They want that walkability to coffee shops and, restaurants and those kind of things, other businesses. So they want that walkability, which is really nice. And we have that in downtown. It's going to be a great way for us to rehab that building with only really $1.6 million coming out of the city's budget. And to again, preserve that historic building in the middle of downtown Fairhope. And it's something people have been looking for a long time.
Mayor, a couple of questions here, and they're kind of curveballs, or not curveballs, but one question I got, the fire department here, why doesn't Fairhope have its own fire department? Why is it a volunteer fire department?
You know, we have over 52 volunteers in the Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department. They do a fantastic job. We do support the fire department through equipment, through training. Several of the employees are employed by the city, and that really those volunteers do not want a paid department. We're able to maintain a decent ISO rating. We have great response times. We have very dedicated volunteers. You know, if we were like some communities where you were struggling to find the volunteers, I think that it would be, you know, a different matter, but we're not. And again, we have a top-notch fire department. I think you can put them against any paid department in the state. We even have some of the volunteers who are members of paid departments in other communities. They really have a camaraderie that they just do not, they don't want to go to a paid department. And again, while it's working, I think what people don't understand is the cost of operating a fire department is very expensive to a city. If you talk to any of my fellow mayors across the Eastern Shore, I think they'll tell you that. We would pretty much have to add another $2 million to our budget just to for the workforce. And again, until we get to a point where we feel like we can't maintain the ISO rating, where we can't maintain the safety levels that we need to, then I think that we're doing okay the way we are.
The other question I have, it's I guess with any kind of growth, and there's other things beyond just the burden on infrastructure and whatnot, but public safety and the criminal aspect and making sure you keep crime. I mean, how's that been? We always get these dispatches about what's going on around the city and stuff, but I wanted to ask you about that. Like, do you feel like you're able to maintain at least a steady public safety crime rate? It's not spiking, it's not going out of control, but like grappling with that has to be a byproduct of the growth too, right?
Yeah, it does. I think that you're, always, when cities were formed, I mean, their top, top priorities were public safety and health, your sanitation, your police services, your fire services. And I think, the police services are something that's always in the forefront of our minds. But, really, we haven't seen a huge influx of crime. You're going to have those things like burglaries. You're going to have vandalism. You're going to have, unfortunately, we do have some homeless in the area that we're seeing. We're trying to deal with some of that right now. The police do a great job doing that. And I think that we've added to our police force. We've done the things that we need to do. We've added some foot patrols or some patrols downtown, some patrols at the bay. But again, a lot of what we see is just really petty crime. It's a lot of vandalism, a lot of small burglaries, those kind of things. But for the most part, we've been able, I feel like, to maintain a safe community. We do have, you know, some drug issues here in town. I mean, people say, oh, no, you know, not in Fairhope. Right, you don't have that. But you see that across every small town in America. I mean, I don't think we're any different from anybody else. But, again, we've added to our police force. We've added vehicles. We've done things, technology, that I think we are able to maintain that public safety standard that we've always had.
Yeah, and I mean, you do see a police presence just about everywhere you go. You it's not quite, I mean, it's not one on every corner, but you can't go from point A to point B in Fairhope probably without passing one police cruiser, right? No.
And I think, you know, we've taken a lot of criticism downtown by lowering the speed limit to 15 miles an hour. That's really for pedestrian safety. Y'all know how everybody who's been to Fairhope, you know how crowded downtown is. It's really for pedestrian safety. You do see it slowing people down. We also have the officer in downtown, community resource officer or support services, I think is what's on their vehicle, Drew. And we have two other part-time folks in that position that are giving parking tickets for people parking in the wrong spots or parking going the wrong way. You know, people can't believe we're doing that. But again, that's all just to maintain that public safety and let folks know that we're out there, that we're watching, that we do have a police presence, and especially in the highly trafficked areas like downtown and at the pier and those areas. We're also the school resource officers, I think, have helped in the schools with a lot of the kids who might do some of that small vandalism. We're able to catch them pretty quickly with cameras and everything else. You know, if somebody commits a crime right now, they're kind of crazy because there's cameras everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, so I'll see all the Facebook posts with people's pictures up there, and, you know, Investigations does a good job of catching those folks. But again, I think the resource officers help combat that on the front end, and they build those relationships with the kids at a young age so they learn to respect law enforcement and learn to respect what we have here in Fairhope.
We'll get you out of here on this. Just a general question. I mean, you inherited a situation, and you feel like you made some progress here, though, with the city and some of the things you've done. I mean, now there have been some obvious, like, social issue dust-ups in Fairhope, but beyond that, we're back to a situation where city government is seen and not really heard like it had been in the past. So do you feel like you're in a good place right now with the way things are going here?
I think you probably know better than anybody. You never assume that you're in a good place when you're in an elected position. I do feel like we have a good team. We have a great city council. We've been able to work well together. And I think that's the biggest thing, is being able to be respectful of each other, be respectful of your differences and the talents that you bring to the table. And sometimes being able to put aside your differences just for the greater good. And I think we've been able to do that. I think that hopefully people are seeing that. Again, we have had challenges, like you said, and for the most part, people have been very respectful of the fact that, you know, the city has certain laws that they have to abide by and certain things that they have to do. And, you know, we understand that people have their own opinions about things. But for the most part, we've been able to resolve things peacefully, and people have been, you know, pretty diplomatic in their dealings with the city. So, again, I think it comes from just having a great team, being good communicators, and, again, being able to put those differences aside just for the greater good of what needs to be done for our community.
Mayor, we appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
And we'll do this again sometime.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk
106.5. Sadly in search of one step in my heart.